chapter 19, very familiar passage of Scripture. We like to read the first 10 verses. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he, Zacchaeus, sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, for the multitude. And the reason was because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him, Jesus, joyfully. When they saw it, that is, the multitudes, they all murmured, saying that he, Jesus, was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. These verses, of course, are the record of the salvation experience of a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. It's one of the best known gospel accounts. We are told in verse 2 that Zacchaeus was rich. This is significant because it is significant in light of what Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 25. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So what we read here in Luke chapter 19 is something more miraculous, something more amazing than a camel going through the eye of a needle. This account of Zacchaeus is also significant in light of what Jesus said in Luke 18, 26 and 27. And when they heard it, that is, that the camel going through the eye of the needle, and when they heard it, said, Who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So what we read here in Luke chapter 19 is something that is an absolute impossibility to man, something that is beyond the ability of man, something that man cannot achieve in and of himself. So in light of these things, our text gives evidence that what is beyond man is not beyond the Lord. And then our text closes in verse 10 with the declaration, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, what we read here in Luke chapter 19 is a vivid illustration of that truth, that Jesus Christ is come to seek and to save that which is lost. What we read here in Luke chapter 19 is a display of the amazing grace of God. It is a message of hope. It is a marvelous presentation of Christ's willingness and readiness to receive the very worst of sinners. In this message, there's so much we can say in this passage of Scripture, but that's not our point. In this message, we want to center our thoughts around what is stated in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I want to speak this morning on when Jesus comes to your spot and calls you by name. And we pray that this would be the personal experience of each one in this building today. That Jesus Christ himself would come to exactly where you are sitting, where I am standing, and speak to us by name. We want to look at the account before us, what happened, and then we want to make a twofold application. One to the unsaved, and even though this is an account of a man being saved, I believe there is also application to you and I that are saved. But first of all, let's just consider the account that we have here. It opens by drawing our attention to Jesus and Jesus. So our attention is immediately drawn to him. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. So our attention is drawn to Jesus. He's entering and he's passing through Jericho. Jericho, of course, was an ancient city. In fact, it was the first enemy stronghold taken by Joshua, who destroyed it. And when he destroyed it, he pronounced a curse upon anyone who would rebuild it. About 500 years later, it was rebuilt in the days of Ahab, wicked man. Jericho was a wicked and a cursed city. And it ought to thrill our souls that Jesus goes to such places. Our attention is then called to a certain man, verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. So we're told his name. We're also told something about him. He was the chief. He was the boss of the publicans. A publican was a tax collector. It's worse than that. He was one who collected taxes from the Jews on behalf of their enemies, the Romans. In other words, they were Jewish employees of the Roman government. They were notorious for overcharging the people. If Rome, for example, had levied a 5% tax, these publicans might go and charge 10 to 15% or whatever they wished. They were guilty of extortion. Guilty of extortion from their own people. They were wicked men. They were ungodly. They were self-centered. They were materialistic. They were hated. And they were hateful individuals. They worked for the enemy, and they got rich by robbing their own people. These publicans were absolutely loathed by the Jews. And when a Jew looked at a publican, he thought in his mind, this is the worst of sinners. There's no one worse than a publican. Jesus entered Jericho, passed through Jericho for this man. And we ought to rejoice that he does so. But notice, again, Zacchaeus was not only a publican, but he was the chief among the publicans. Now, if the publicans were hated and despised, imagine the boss of these hated ones. He would be even more hated. Rejoice again that Jesus seeks and saves such individuals. Not only was Zacchaeus the chief among the publicans, but he was rich. How did he become rich? Through the extortion of his own people, working for the enemies of his own people. Make no mistake about it, Zacchaeus was a wicked man. But again, we rejoice that Jesus seeks such and saves such. Not as obvious as you read this account that Zacchaeus had obviously heard something of Jesus Christ. He wanted to see who he was. He had heard something. Perhaps he had heard how this man could touch the eyes of the blind and the blind would see. How that he could touch the ears of the deaf and the deaf would hear. How that he could talk to the lame and the lame would walk. Or perhaps how that he could set free those who had been possessed of demons. Or how he could heal the sick. Or how he could touch a leper and the leper was cleansed. How he could forgive debtors and even raise the dead. We don't know exactly what Zacchaeus had heard of Jesus. But he had obviously heard something enough to cause him to have a desire to see who he was. Doesn't say that he wanted Jesus, but he simply wanted to see who he was. Notice verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I just want to see this man. I want to see what he looks like. He was curious. There was a crowd around Jesus as he was passing through, and I imagine the crowd was growing. And there was no way with this crowd and the short stature of Zacchaeus that Zacchaeus was going to be able to see Jesus. But his mindset was, I've got to see this man. I've got to see this man who restores lives and lifts up the cast down. I've heard about him. I just want to see him. I want to see what he looks like. In verse 4, we see that Zacchaeus had a passionate and persistent intent to see Jesus. Perhaps he had tried many things. Perhaps he would run over here and look and jump up and say, but no matter what he tried, he couldn't see Jesus. Perhaps he would climb up on a rock, an elevated area, and try to see, but no matter what he tried, he couldn't see. And there's his sycamore tree. So Zacchaeus climbs into the tree. He is very passionate with this intent to see who Jesus was. So here is this wicked, ungodly, self-centered, materialistic, hateful individual, and there he is in a tree. And we read in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, I believe that's the very reason he entered the city, was for Zacchaeus. Jesus came to the place. Jesus, God Himself, the creator and sustainer of all things, the fullness of God, the Almighty One, the Omniscient One, the Infinite One, the one and only Savior of sinners, the one and only Deliverer from sin, the one and only Emancipator from sin, the one and only door and way into the blessings of God. He came to the place. He came to the spot where Zacchaeus was. He came to the precise place and spot of Zacchaeus. This is truly amazing. That is awesome. And as great as Jesus was and is, He came to where Zacchaeus was. This is grace. This is mercy. And when Jesus came to the place, those are glorious words. Then notice, when Jesus came to the place, He obviously stopped. Stopped at this sycamore tree. And it says He looked up and He saw Him. He knew He was up there. This is the man Jesus came to seek and to save. He looked up and He saw him. And He saw Zacchaeus up in that tree. Did He see one who was worthy and deserving of God's kindness? No. Saw a wicked sinner. When He saw Zacchaeus, did He see someone who had something to offer? No. He saw a sinner in which He had come to save. And then notice what happened next. He looked up, He saw him, and He said unto him, the multitude is all around Jesus. He's not speaking to the multitude. He's speaking to the man who is up in that tree. And Jesus said unto him, directly, hey, you up there! That's not what He said. Hey, mister! Zacchaeus! And I imagine people in that crowd began to think to themselves, how does he know Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is a publican. He's wicked. But Jesus came to the spot and he called Zacchaeus by name. I'm glad that Jesus still knows where to find those he's going to save. And I'm glad he still comes to where the sinner is. And I'm glad that he calls him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. That is, hurry up. That very word, haste, tells us that this is an urgent matter. And may I tell you something? That when Jesus, whether you're here and saved or unsaved, when Jesus comes to your spot, looks at you, calls you by name, it is an urgent time. Make haste and come. Come. For I am going to judge you this day. That's not what he said. Zacchaeus, make haste and come, for I am going to condemn you today. That's what Zacchaeus deserved. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Why? For I must abide at thy house. Holy and righteous God, in mercy and grace, called Zacchaeus. And holy and righteous God, in mercy and grace, still calls hell-deserving sinners to himself. Notice verse 6. And he made haste. There was the drawing of God. That's another message. But Zacchaeus made haste. Zacchaeus came and received him joyfully. What a picture. And received him joyfully. He experienced Jesus. The people, they weren't too happy about this. Verse 7 tells us that. Then I believe they're on their way. Picture it. Zacchaeus and Jesus walking together. On their way to his house. Zacchaeus is convicted. He said, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's a picture of repentance. Verse 8. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Notice it does not say salvation has come to your house. That is true, but that's not what it says. Salvation has come to this house. That tells me that they have now arrived at the house. Salvation has come to this house. And it all started with the Lord entering and passing through Jericho. Now let's make application. First of all, to the unsaved. In our text, there was a definite time and place in which the Lord saved Zacchaeus. Again, I remind you that Zacchaeus was an ungodly and wicked man. amongst those that was considered the worst of sinners. An unsaved sinner, I pray. I pray that you would, that Jesus, that it would become real in your heart as never before. That by nature and practice, you are in violation of the law of God. You are in opposition to, and you are a criminal against, and you are living in rebellion and revolt against the holy God. Against a holy and righteous God. As an unsaved sinner, you are estranged from God. And you live under the dominion of Satan. And you live in the realm and in the power of darkness. And you are deceived. For right now you think you have plenty of time. You are deceived. You are blind. You are hardened. You are unrighteous. You are ungodly. You are spiritually bankrupt. And you are lost. As an unsaved sinner, and again, I pray that you would feel this today. As an unsaved sinner, you are trapped under the weight of sin, firmly held by the chains and the shackles of sin. And you are sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the contamination of sin. And you are sinking deeper and deeper into the destruction, the loss, and the misery that sin brings. As an unsaved sinner, you are guilty before God, and there is nothing more serious. And the Bible says in John chapter 3, you are condemned already. That is, right now, you are under condemnation. And you have absolutely no merit to plead. And no matter what you do, you are unacceptable before God. You say, well, I sure didn't come here to hear that. Well, you need to hear that if you're lost. But here's something else you need to hear. There is a God-provided Savior for sinners such as you and I. If you are here and unsaved, you need to hear what is declared so very plainly in 1 Timothy 1:15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is prepared to save such. He is qualified and endowed of God to save, to set free, to rescue and spare sinners. His name is Jesus. And we read in verse 5 of our text, and when Jesus came to the place, the one and only way out of corruption, the one and only way out of the enslavement, the binding and holding power of sin, came to the place where Zacchaeus was. And oh, how we pray. If you're here and unsaved, that Zacchaeus would come to your precise spot. That Jesus would come to your precise spot and call you by name, saying, come. Now think about this. Jesus comes. Zacchaeus is up in the tree. He looked up and he saw him. And I believe that Zacchaeus could feel the eyes of Jesus upon him. They were eyes of mercy and grace. It was as if at that moment, it was just Jesus and Zacchaeus. It was all this multitude. But really it came down to this was Jesus and Zacchaeus. And if you're ever going to be saved, there has to be a one-on-one meeting with Christ. It is a blessed thing, whether saved or unsaved, to sit in the house of God, a message is preached, and you feel like, I'm the only one here. That's a blessing! And I believe that's how Zacchaeus felt at this moment. Zacchaeus. And I pray today that if you're here and unsaved, that Jesus Christ would come to your spot and that you would feel His loving eyes upon you and that you would hear Him lovingly call you by name and that you would hear His gracious invitation, come. And that you would feel the urgency, make haste, and come. And that without delay, you would come. That's what happened here in our text. That's what happened to each and every one of us when the Lord saved us. That's what needs to happen if you're here and unsaved. For Jesus Christ to come to your precise spot. Now I want to make application to those who are saved. Zacchaeus, again in our text, he's a lost man. But there is an application here. Zacchaeus had a passionate and persevering desire to see Jesus who He was. That ought to be the desire of every saved individual every single day. To see Jesus who He is. To see the One in whom our sins are forgiven. To see the One in whom we are reconciled to God. To see the One in whom we have nearness to God. To see the One by whom we are accepted by God. To see the One in whom we have redemption from the curse of the law and from the power of darkness and from the wrath to come. I will not spend one second in hell. Oh, to see the One in whom made this so. To see the One in whom we have access to God. People will go and they'll stand in long lines to see a celebrity of some kind. How foolish. Oh, but to see the One who one day came to my spot, saw me, called me, and saved me. Oh, to see Him. That ought to be our everyday desire. I want to see Him today. I want to see who He is today. Oh, how we ought to desire to see the One in whom we have the blessings of God. Notice verse 3. And He sought. That is, He looked for a way to see Jesus, who He was. We the saved ought to always be looking for a way to see Jesus, to see who He is. Notice verse 3 also. And could not. Could not. It's sad. But there are those of God's people who cannot see Jesus. They've been saved, but now they can't see Him. They can see their problems. They can see everyone else's problems. They can see this. They can see that. But they can't see Him. How sad. And could not. Notice what it says. Because. You say, well, He could not because of all the multitude. That's not the real reason. It says, because He was of little stature. In other words, if He was taller, no matter how big the crowd was, He would have been able to see. But He could not because He was. Oh, there's an important lesson there. If you cannot see Jesus Christ, if you're here and saved today, you cannot see, and you cannot see Jesus Christ, look no further than yourself for the reason. Because He was of little stature. But He didn't settle with that. Realizing His problem, little stature, He got to the place where He could see Jesus. Sons and daughters of God, if you cannot see Jesus at this very moment, you want to see Him, but you can't see Him, you've got to get to the place where you can see Him. And you have got to do whatever it takes. It means climbing up in a sycamore tree. Climb, climb, climb. But you've got to get to the place where you can see Jesus. You've got to get there. And Zacchaeus did. And then we read in verse 5 again. And when Jesus came to the place, aren't you glad today? I'm talking to the saved right now. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows where you are? Aren't you glad He knows the condition you are in? He knows your needs and He has what you need. Oh, that He would come to our spot. Look up. See us and call us by name. Jesus came where Zacchaeus was, set His eyes upon him, and said plainly and distinctly, Zacchaeus. Perhaps there were other men in that crowd named Zacchaeus. I don't know. But Zacchaeus knew who Christ was talking to. Zacchaeus. In that moment, Despite the thronging multitude, Zacchaeus felt like he was the only one there. Can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus standing where you are? Can you feel? Can you feel Jesus looking right at you? Looking right at you. Can you hear Him call your name? Can you hear Him as He says, make haste and come? That conveys the idea of come right now. Have you ever experienced that? I know you have. Jesus comes to your spot and He says, you come right now. The best thing you can do is what Zacchaeus did, make haste and come down. Well, I'll do it when I get home. No, you won't. Don't fall for that. I don't have to take care of it here at church. If you're at church and Jesus comes to you and says, come right now, I suggest you take care of it right then. Or wherever you might be. If you're driving your car down 75, and Jesus comes and sits next to you in the seat and calls you by name and says, come, I suggest you pull your car over and get things right with God. Well, I'm driving now, I'll do it later. Don't do that. Make haste. Come. And He says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Oh, there's a message there. When Jesus comes to our spot, calls us by name, and says, I'm coming to your house today. You know, really, that ought not be a dreadful thing. We ought to view that as a blessing. I'm coming to your house today. We ought to view that as an opportunity to be set free. He's coming to my house. He may do as He did with the money changers and throw a lot of things out, but He's coming to my house to set me free. He's coming to my house to bless me. This day is salvation come to this house. Jesus is standing. Jesus comes to your spot. And He says, I'm coming to your house today. Now, when I'm talking about house in this application, I'm not merely talking about the physical structure, our address. It's certainly included, but that's not merely the application here. Jesus comes to me and He says, I'm coming to your house, 601 Mill Creek Court, Clio, Michigan, 48420. I'm coming to your house. But we're not just limited to our address. But I want to expand that to our life. I'm coming in to your life today. I'm coming into your circle, your world, your domain of existence. I'm coming into your thoughts and your activities and your pursuits and your goals and your habits today. I'm coming into your computer today. I'm coming into your relationships today. Now, when we consider it in that realm, we must ask ourselves, do we want Jesus to come to our house? Do we want Jesus to come to our house? Do we want Jesus to come to our house and change our hearts, our minds, and our lives? Is that not what he did here? This day salvation has come to this house. I'm here to tell you today that if Jesus were to come to our houses, there would be some deliverances. Salvation has come to this house. Every one of us in our lives have things that bind us, and we need deliverance. So, oh, what a blessing when Jesus comes to our spot, calls us by name, and says, come, I'm coming to your house today. Come into your house. Zacchaeus came. We see in verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What happened to Zacchaeus? He experienced the person of Christ. You know when you experience the person of Christ? When you come to him. Christ now had an impact, not only upon him personally, but upon his house. In verse 8, we see again that change was brought. Zacchaeus' life was better, and his house was better, all because of Jesus. I pray that Jesus would come to where we are, look upon us in mercy and grace, and call each of us by name, saying, come right now. You come right now. And that we would respond as Zacchaeus did. And he made haste. And he came. And received him joyfully. And then that we would walk with Jesus. Picture Jesus and Zacchaeus walking to the house of Zacchaeus. That we would come to Jesus Christ, and that we would walk with Jesus into every area of our life. That he would come into every nook and cranny of our lives. And it is then that we would experience this day of salvation, deliverance. Come to this house. Oh, there's so much. So many applications that can be made. If you're here and unsaved, there's hope. There is not hope in you. There is hope because of Jesus. If you're here and saved, do you want to see Him? Do you long to see Him? Do you take diligent effort every single day to see Jesus? Do you strive to get to that place where you can see Him? What I'm telling you today, whether you're saved or unsaved, you don't have to leave here dragging a ball and chain. There is salvation. There is deliverance in Christ. And that day, Zacchaeus experienced the reality, the power, and the influence of Jesus Christ. And oh, that would be true of us today. That we would experience the power and the influence of Jesus Christ today. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.